the rest of the story. Grace's hand trembled as she held the telephone receiver to her ear. A woman's voice exploded from the earpiece. "You keep that book about sex away from my son," the voice warned. There followed immediately a loud click and a dial tone. Chagrined, Grace nonetheless knew precisely what the woman on the phone had been shrieking about. But Grace had never intended anyone outside the family to see that book. It had been purchased, in fact, for her own adolescent son to read in private. For not only was he rather awkward and introverted by nature, but he was past the age as far as Grace was concerned, past the age when a young man really ought to know about such things. He would learn about sex somewhere, Grace reasoned, so better from a carefully selected book than from reckless acquaintances on a street corner. By the way, the boy's name was Marston, and this is the rest of the story. Whether he liked it or not, shy little Marston had always been at the center of some one controversy or another. Back in the fourth grade, his teacher, Mrs. Dawson, grew concerned because he suddenly began neglecting his schoolwork. The time he ought to have been studying, he was occupied instead by drawing. He was sketching and scribbling obsessively, despite his teacher's various and vigorous attempts to dissuade him. So alarmed did Mrs. Dawson become by young Marston's increasing withdrawal that she sought and got permission to send the boy to the school's psychologist. The psychologist's eventual report came as a pleasant surprise to everybody, for Marston's IQ was tested and found to be a remarkable 152. That's genius level by some standards. Marston was the brightest child we have ever interviewed, the psychologist said, but he is bored with a curriculum which is clearly beneath him. Marston, in other words, needed a challenge. Well, it turned out the young man had anticipated this evaluation and had taken steps of his own to stimulate his prodigious intellect. When a scholarship to a progressive school was offered, the 8-year-old responded, "No thanks, I've started a newspaper." And he had, a neighborhood publication comprised of news and cartoons. The former he typed painstakingly on the family's royal typewriter, and of course the latter he illustrated himself, and then he sold them door to door for a penny apiece, and that was only the beginning. He next published a neighborhood periodical called The Pepper, for which he personally sold advertising and hired a staff of classmates as feature writers and reporters. Meanwhile, Marston contributed to a succession of school newspapers in grammar school, in junior high, in high school, and then freshman year he found the book, the sex text, his mother Grace had bought for him. For she had determined that her son, bashful and inhibited beyond the borders of his half-pint publishing empire, needed sex education to give him confidence. What it gave him instead was something to show his school friends, much to the dismay of their parents. And it gave him something else. Every successful publisher needs an angle. Above all, by now, young Marston wanted to be a successful publisher. And it said that the Pepper, the Chicago neighborhood newspaper Marston founded in the 1930s, is still being published by his youthful journalistic descendants to this day. But as of this day, you'll never forget what happened when the precocious adolescent publisher discovered the marvel and marketability of sex. For it was he who created a publishing revolution, an institution called Playboy, courtesy of Marston. Hugh Marston Hefner. And now you know the rest of the story.